Good morning, Miss Carter.
Morning. I am on time.
You are very punctual today. Yes.
Yeah,
I'm loving
we're
it.
Here.
How you doing, girl?
Oh, it's good. It's good. All these kids are going back to school and all this differentness going on. So it's, you know, we in transition. Not for me yet. I got a whole nother month.
Before your kid goes to school?
Yeah, but I know a lot of people are. So if you're out there moving and grooving and you're going, what is this traffic? What is going on?
Oh, that's good to know. I'm glad because I was wondering. Okay, that makes sense. But how is Miss Carter, though?
I am well. This is always a breath of fresh air. I move things around to be in this space because it does so much for me to be with you, feel nice and safe. So, yes, how are you? How is Miss Angie this morning?
You know, I had the weirdest sleep cycle last night. I was tired. I came home and, like, early. And I slept like until like 2, and then I got up and I cleaned the kitchen and like did my stuff, and I didn't go back to bed till like 3 or 4, and then I was online shopping till 5, and so I'm all funky right now, but I'm here. I'm funky, but I'm here.
We here.
So I'm really excited for this episode. We're gonna be talking with a good friend of mine, Roshan. Nicole, I don't think you've met him either yet. He's a super dope person here in Sacramento, and I am excited to introduce him. So let's bring him into the call.
Yes, yes.
We've had some great series so far. Roshan!
What up?
What up? How are you?
I'm good. Online shopping until 5 a.m.?
I mean, given that I was up at like 3:34, so not all night, but yeah. You know how it be sometimes when like, so what's happening right now is that my style is changing a little bit. And so you know how for me, it's really important that like as many things in my life reflect how I feel and who I am. And so I'm finding that I am ready to make a bit of a shift in the things that I'm wearing. And so I've been shopping to kind of like revamp, and I got rid of a bunch of stuff. Nicole knows I gave her a bunch of stuff for her daughter. So it's like, it's that a little bit of a moment of reinvention, you know? Welcome. Thank you for coming and being here. We're so excited. We love the green wall you have behind you as well.
my backyard wall.
Yes, I love it. Roshan, as I know you, you know, I know that you have like this gentle strength and nature about you that I think is really beautiful. You're a person that you can feel safe around and also secure. Like, you know, you're not gonna be fucked with, but same time, you know, like it's all peace and love. And I really appreciate that. You're super creative. You're always thinking outside of the box. You know, you've done a lot of incredible things in the city of Sacramento, but I would love to know how Roshan introduces himself. So tell us who you are.
That's a tough one, you know what I mean? Like, it depends on the day, it depends on how I'm feeling. I feel like you. I've reinvented myself a lot throughout my life, you know what I mean? And just, like, always understood the power of that. And more so understood the power of just who we are as a people, you know what I mean? It's like, we're powerful, you know, we're young. I always say, like, I'm young, black, and well aware that my attributes for success don't stop there. So I have a lot of different attributes, you know. So some cats will know me from like, oh, when he was an MC, you know, and it was an MC touring the country. And it's like, oh, okay, yeah. But then some people will be like, yo, you used to be an MC? And it's like, yeah, actually, I did. And they only know me from a business side. And then some people only know me from like the spiritual homie side. So there's so many different elements to me, but I do think like if when I'm introducing myself, it's just love, you know what I mean? Like moving in the way of love, moving in the way of peace. And that's how I greet the world, that's how I meet people in the world, that's how it is until otherwise, you know what I mean?
Until further notice, motherfucker. Beautiful. I love that. It is true. You know, we go through different sort of phases of our life. I'm sure that this peace and love approach was not always the case, because life is hard out here, especially for a young Black man. And you and I have talked a little bit about your childhood growing up. Tell us a little bit about your journey of the path to peace and love.
Yeah, that one's a tough one, right? Like, for me, I always start with, like, my dad was in the Army. So being in the Army, you move around a lot. And so that was always one of those things growing up where I had to get used to, which kind of shaped who I am today, both in good and bad. You know, I was young, probably the first, second grade, got attached to a lot of the folks that I was around, and then it was like, all right, cool, it's time to move from California, time to move to Kansas. And so then it's just like, man, you know what I mean? Like, all right, ripped apart from my friends, and then got to Kansas, stayed in Kansas for a while, and same thing happened. Then it was like, all right, cool, time's up, now it's time to go to Germany. And so by the time I got to Germany, it was kind of one of those things where I just didn't really have close relationships with people, because it kind of I was used to it. It's like, why make friends? Because everything's going to change out anyway. And then moving back, my mom and my dad lived in Germany, and then my mom left to come back to California. And my mom and dad always had like a volatile like relationship. So I saw a lot of that growing up. And like, my mom's no punk either. So it was like real hands being thrown back in the day. Like, so seeing that too kind of shaped things, right? And then when she bounced, she left to California, but she left me and my sister in Germany, you know? So I had to deal with that too. Like, man, mom's leaves. I'm stuck with dad. Dad is in the, he's in the field all the time because he's in the Army. He meets a woman, and she was like the evil stepmother, right? Like, she kept us locked in the room while he was gone. It was just all bad. So then custody war, like literally a custody war breaks out. And my mom finally gets us. We moved back to California, moved to Sacramento. But then now, you know, I'm living in Lincoln Village, which, you know, I'm not sure if everyone knows like where Lincoln Village is in Sacramento, but especially in the 90s, it was that spot, you know. we got it live out there. and my uncle was like one of the biggest bloods out there at the time. Like, he was that guy, you know. And so by the grace of that, you know, both, you know, grace and whatever else you want to call it, like, he put the word out, like, yo, don't mess with him. Like, he's going on a different path, you know, which, like, literally was life-changing for me, because I was going to go down that road because I had finally landed in a place where I could be. And then this is who I was around, so I was just going to be. And, you know, with that, it kind of moved me into this direction of just, like, focusing on school and getting in school, but still running with the wrong crowd, or not even the wrong crowd, running with the homies, you know what I mean? And but then starting to understand like the different paths, excuse me, that you can choose when you're running with different people. And so slowly but surely, that's when I started to get into like personal development and, you know, like learning. And I would sit by myself and like read personal development books. This is probably like senior year, you know. That's like really when I started my journey towards like the other part of me now, which is, you know, who I am now, but that's kind of what it was. So up until that point, it was just non-traditional and everywhere.
It's so funny that you mentioned that, because the previous guest was my dad, who's Air Force, and I too grew up moving around a lot. So I resonate so much with a lot of what you said. But I know, Nicole, that your brain was firing off with this story. So I'm going to let y'all, one, meet each other, and two, let her dive into some thoughts.
Well, I want to echo Angie, Roshan, that your presence very much is very, hey, how you doing? I'm good. I hope you're good. Mm-hmm. There's really this sense of like, I have this awareness of self. Mm. So I'm gonna be good. Are you good? and what I heard was having to be, right? Having to be, having to move, having to figure out. And then you said, I get to California, it's settled, I'm back in Sac, I get to be, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, now I get to be. And then I heard you say choose to be. Mm. So there's a have to be, a get to be, and a choose to be.
Mm.
And I'm wondering, it seems like you really have an awareness and value choice.
Mm.
So if you can just expand more on your awareness of choice, because so many feel they don't have it. They have to be, or they get excited to get to be, but never get to choose to be.
Yeah, that's interesting you said that, because I just talked, you know what I mean? So I'm glad you have
that. Yo, that was some jam she just pulled out of that.
Right? I'm like, oh, did I say that? But yeah, it's one of those things, like, as you start to get more and more aware of yourself and your true power, I think that's what it comes down to. It's like, during that time of high school and right after high school, I started learning, like, our true power, you know? And I attribute that to hip-hop back in the day.
I was going to ask.
Like, yeah. Like, that's where the game, like, really was. And I remember, like, I would take Outkast albums and, like, listen to them, but I'm taking notes. So I just listen to music differently. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. That was a gem right there. Let me write that down. And I started to really understand the power of message in music, you know? And so I think that's kind of where it started. And then I got helicopters flying over New York, airplanes flying over me. I think started, and then starting to dive more into more of that, you know, like, we are powerful. And then that led into that personal side, which then leads into the spiritual side, which then leads into, like, the power of, like, creation.
Mm.
And understanding that your words are your power. And that's, like, that ultimate journey that led me to that, is when I got to that nugget and your words being your power, that's when I started to, like, truly tap all the way back in our lineage to, like, we are creators, and then understood, like, oh, the words that I speak then create the life that I live.
Mm.
So let me speak a better language. Let me talk a different way. And that's truly that journey to it. And when I was an MC, my stage name was Taze, which was Truth Arises in Search. And so it was always this idea that if you search for the truth, you'll find it.
Mm.
Right. And then as you're going along those lines, you start to understand, like, all right, this is this truth for me, but also there's more. So let me go on this quest more, you know? And so that's kind of how I came to it, was just understanding our words are our most powerful asset, you know?
Mm. That's so beautiful. A friend of mine used to always say that, you know, that's why they call it spelling, you know?
Yeah.
Literally casting a spell, if you will. Words are incredibly powerful. Who I know you mentioned Outkast. I'm a big, like, I'm a hip hop head as well. Grew up with, you know, Eric B and Rakim, EPMD, KRS-One, all that. You know, old Nas, 94 Nas, you know. The Fugees, all of that, huge part of Ghetto Boys, all the West Coast rap. You know, it influenced me a lot too in understanding a story about our people that I didn't necessarily live, and was at a distance from, partially from military, partially just, you know, just because some the dice don't always roll the same way. But what music of who you listen to, what musical influences can you point to the most? And what was some of the, like, in addition to the words, any other, like, major game that you felt that helped shape you?
Yeah, I think for me, Outkast was always at the top. Rakim,
mm-hmm.
Especially, like, the 18th Letter, that album that came out probably like 99.
Mm.
That one was, he has a song on there called Who's God? And that one was that one for me. Wu-Tang, always listen to Wu-Tang. Nas too, you know. what I started to notice inside of the music is it was people experiencing their lives and being able to broadcast it. Like, and for some reason, when I would listen, it would be like a news segment. You know what I mean? But you're not watching the news on TV. It's like they're reporting the news of what's happening in their locations. Mm-hmm. When you start to put that together, it's just like, okay, you get a picture painted. But I think then on the West Coast, I mean, I listened to all the West Coast greats too. I was never one of those cats that was like, nah, East Coast, nah, West Coast, you know. I was like, nah, there's a lot. There's South too. So mm-hmm. I was just really a student of the game, mm-hmm. you know. And I think that's what really led to me just literally, Angie, I'm telling you, like I had a notebook and I would just write that down and be like, what? And if they said something I didn't understand, I would then look it up, you know, and then it'd be like, oh, snap. Like, okay, there are such things as anaconda operations, you know? And when you look up what an anaconda operation is, it's like, what? Or like COINTELPRO. Like, there were so many different things in the music that I was just like,
wow.
I get what's happening here, you know what I mean? And so, yeah, like it ranged from everything. And once I started to understand that, it's like everybody's speaking their own language, whether it be West Coast, East Coast, down South, but we're all kind of telling the same narrative of like progression and elevation if you're really listening to it.
I love that. Nicole?
Me too. It is. It really isn't. I loved how you painted the picture of the broadcasting and everybody's reporting from where they're from, so then you can get a fuller picture of what's going on in the world around you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess I wanted to just dive back to your journey and your path. And when you said, well, when you have this awareness of self and who we are, you get this power and your words are power, which kind of led to this spiritual. And I know for a lot of us who listen to hip hop, there were different fractions. Right? Like, every, you know, the red, the black, the green. And we would go into these different realms, so to speak, where they were shining light on there's a different way to see God. There's a different way to see yourself. Mm. I mean, it was at one point we were calling each other, what's up, king? What's up, queens? We still do that. But there are some people that were like, you are gods. And yep. It would scare people. It would be like, whoa, I don't want to listen to that. So when you talk about we are creators, what can you talk to us more about that?
Yeah, and that's truly it. It's like, you know, when you realize like you have God energy, you are a co-creator of the universe, like you look at life a lot different, you know, and you stop, you do a couple things. You stop waiting, you know what I mean? You start creating, and then you don't allow other people to be beholden of your energy, you know, and your thought process and the way that you move in the universe, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so when you start to understand that, and I think like yoga, meditation, things like that help you tap into that energy, which is why it's been so important to me, is when you're in that stillness, when you're in that peace of mind, when you're in that, you start to understand what part you play in the universe and creation, right? And it's sitting in that and just being still in that and understanding like there is this energy that moves around you, and that when you speak to it in a certain way, when you talk in a certain way, it then brings things to you. So understanding like the law of attraction, like I did a lot of work, like understanding the law of attraction and how that actually works. And then, and then it's just trial and error after that point. you got to try it out, you know? And that was one of the things I'll never forget. It was The Science of Getting Rich. Like, I read that book right when we started Unseen Heroes. And this was probably like 2008, 2007. So it's been 13 years now. And, you know, the guy, the writer in the book, he said, make a goal that you know that the only way that you'll get to this goal is because you did the steps in this book. You know, think of an outlandish number, you know, and it was just like, all right, at the time I had just like left the state and I wasn't working for the state anymore. I was just like, fuck that. I'm never going back to traditional work ever again. Like, I'm going to do this. And so I read this book and I followed the steps because I had nothing to lose. I felt like I was at the bottom already. I was like, I'm going to do this and I'm going to see. And that book really did teach me like the power of creation, because you set this goal and my goal was $10,000. And at the time I had probably like $100, $200. You know what I mean? Like, it was so far off. I was just like, all right, let's see. And just literally followed the steps in that book and to the point where I set a date, you know, and that's the power of like setting that date and setting that goal and putting, you know, planning before time. And I always go like this because it's like you spoke that into existence. And then when I got there, it was like 6 months later, I didn't make my goal, right? And I was like, what the hell? But my goal was 10,000, and in my bank account, I had like $9,902 or something like that. You know what I mean? And I was just like, nah, son, this shit works. This works right here. And never look back after that. I was like, okay, got it. I know what I'm doing now. And just put that into practice. And then it's just playing around with it, right? It's just like, you know, let me see what I can create. Let me see. And sometimes it shows up. And then sometimes it doesn't. And then as you start to move forward in that power of understanding that you create, then you start to see where your hiccups are and where your energy blocks are, you know, because if I can manifest, you know, a cup of coffee to me really quickly, but then a trip to Egypt is like years and years and years and years and years. It's like, oh, I got some resistance in this trip to Egypt, but this coffee just shows up to me all the time, you know? And it's truly, once you start to understand yourself like that, you start to understand your blocks. And it's like, okay, that's where I know I need to put some work into, is manifesting on this bigger level. Because at the core of it, that means I don't believe that I can get to Egypt, right? And I say Egypt because, like, before the pandemic in 2019, like right before everything happened, like October 2019, I went to Egypt. And it was only when I cleared my resistance to everything that was in my way of Egypt that it actually just showed up for me. And like the stars aligned and I was like, oh, there's that path, you know? So that's the part of the learning lesson too, is just like understanding, like, as there's levels to this, right? And you can always move forward in it or figure out just through your experience, your life experience, like where your contrast is. And then that's the fun part. That becomes the fun part. It's like, how do I break that down? Like, okay, I see there's some resistance there. Let me see where that resistance lies. And you learn a lot about yourself in that way, right? You're like, oh, the reason, you know, and I just say money because it's one that we easily understand, is like, the reason I don't have that is because my beliefs about money have always been more money, more problems, or I don't have it, or my parents didn't know about it. You know, and you start to really understand, like, oh, that's why those things don't come to me, whatever it is. It can be anything.
Somebody said they're obsessed with everything you're saying, and I'm totally in a 100% agreement. My stomach has like butterflies in it because I feel you so much, and I have experienced so much of this in my life, and I too, you know, watched. I remember when I first got turned on to like positive affirmations with the Queen Louise Hay, and watched that You Can Heal Your Life. It's on YouTube if you ever want to watch it. And then, you know, the Secret and all that jazz, you know. And same, like, I have so many moments in my life when I just, Nicole has been a witness to a lot of this too, of in my mind I will just be like, all right, this is the thing that I want. I know that once I have focus and attention on it, it's a wrap, it's over with. And I think that, and I'm curious if this is part of your experience too, what I have come to realize about part of the reason why I have some people call it like unshakable faith. Like, I have this unshakable faith about certain shit that I'm just like, all right, you know, this is what I want to see happen. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of when. And I trust the timing of it, and I'm going to do my part, you know, all that. But I think that growing up in the military, as a military kid in the Air Force, having traveled so many places at such a young age and been exposed to so many different things, I think that especially the travel gave me this sensation of nothing is out of my reach, right? Versus maybe someone who, and someone who in this situation that I'm gonna explain may not have the same thought, but like in contrast with somebody who grows up in a town and never leaves that town and stays there all their life. And that might be just by choice, you know, but I have found that for me personally, I think that that has played a huge role in my belief about what is possible. And I really honestly 100% truly believe that nothing is impossible to me. If I decide, then so it is, period. And like you said, same thing in those moments when a manifestation isn't coming through, like I really want this thing, but that manifestation isn't coming. It's like, all right, do I really believe that this is possible? You know? And so the moment that, like you said, I can clear whatever static is in the way of that signal, then I can hear clearly, then boom, it's a go. Right. But I'm curious if your military background as well and having grown up travel, seen a lot of different things, do you think that contributes to your belief that things are possible?
I do think seeing is believing. You know what I mean? And I always say this because I'm always mindful of the little Roshan that exists right now that's growing up in the village or growing up in Meadowview or growing up in whatever hood across the world right now, that at the time when I was there, like, I didn't see those things. And so that lived experience of getting out and seeing other things does help, but it doesn't make it impossible. You know what I mean? Like, my mom had me when she was 18. I graduated twice because she was pregnant with me when she graduated, you know? And so then to see like where I am now, it's like, okay, just from that perspective, and my mom never went anywhere besides with my dad, you know? But when she came back here, I mean, I forget what age she was, but she didn't have that experience growing up either. It was just like in one little neighborhood. So I do think it's possible, but I do think that being exposed to different things helps that. And so it doesn't mean that you have to travel and you have to be, you have to live in Germany or you have to live in Kansas, or you have to live anywhere else. It just means that you just got to be better at traveling from where you are, mm-hmm. you know? And I think that's what hip hop taught me at a young age, was like, oh, I can be in Atlanta mentally, spiritually, and emotionally by listening to Outkast. Mm-hmm. Or I can be in New York mentally, spiritually, and emotionally by listening to Wu-Tang. Now let me just tune in and listen and then take the gems from there and then apply them here.
Yes. You know?
But if you don't understand that on a mental, physical, and emotional standpoint, then it does become harder because you don't believe this is possible. And definitely traveling helps when you see, you know, you land somewhere else, you land in Egypt, and it's like, damn, this is life out here, son. Like, and they don't know near nothing about what we're doing over here. But this, and that life has been going on way before life in America. So it's like, dang, it's just like, it puts things into perspective in a different way, right? But I don't think you have to have that, you know, in order to like, really tap into who you are and be your best self.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think you're 100% right. I think books are also another great way that we could do this. You talked about that, traveling through your books. I know when I was getting antsy, you know, COVID quarantine antsiness, you know, cabin fever shit. And even to this day, when I start to feel like that, I will travel through the movies that I watch. I'll be like, oh, I want to see this city, and I'll look for something in that area and immerse myself that way. So there are, with cuisine, with food, you can travel with food. There's so many amazing ways to get exposed to a number of things. And I think that's where you really can learn about the wide range of, there are so many worlds out here. that we can participate in. Mm-hmm. You know, Nicole, what are?
Well, I love it, and I think for those of us, just as I come in with the mental health aspect, when we hear things like law of attraction and creation, you know, when you come and I really liked when you slowed down and you said, I think about the little Roshan, because if I listen, I'm hearing that your childhood had a lot of adverse experiences.
Yeah.
And so I guess I'm just wanting to talk about the bridge from how that conditions us. And mm-hmm. it kind of sets us up to believe maybe this, like you said, I got back to SAC, I looked around, and I was all in because that's what was around me. You had this uncle who said, hey, hands off. It cleared a path for you. And so when if you're listening and you don't ascribe to the law of attraction, what I want to do is say that when Roshan is talking about contrast, he's talking about things in life that rub up against in a way that we may, in our terms, say traumatic. Or we may say things that really were adverse, didn't feel good, didn't go well. Contrast is when things happen that totally make you feel, I don't like this. What's going on? This is not how it's supposed to go. So that's contrast. And then when Roshan is talking about resistance and clearing resistance, and he's saying, hey, a cup of coffee is so easy because he's familiar with it. Whereas a trip to Egypt feels like it's going to take years. It's because I'm not thinking about Egypt every day. Every day I see a cup of coffee. So clearing resistance for us, if you're not ascribing to law of attraction, is soothing that nervous system. Clearing resistance means those, in the mindset world, they call it limiting beliefs. But this is me, y'all, this is how we talk. All I'm going to tell you is that's an old record.
Yep.
Resistance is some old shit that old people put on our record player, and we didn't get a chance to say, don't do that. And we have to constantly to say, take your Motown off, and I'm going to put on my hip hop, or I'm going to put on this. But we don't know. We don't know it's our record player. You know, we just come into the world, and people are putting shit on and telling you to dance. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't know, and you say, well, why can't I manifest? I'm hearing Roshan talking about manifest. I'm hearing him say he went from 200 to 9,000, da, 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 da. What I want to say is in regular plain talk is that he addressed whatever was making him believe he couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's the benefit of counseling, therapy, a good friend. And I too ascribe to co-creation and these beliefs. But if we're talking and it seems a little far away from you, don't fret.
Yep.
It's just we're just talking about we've had life experiences that unfortunately have not allowed us to see that far.
Mm-hmm.
And Roshan is talking about being able to address that in a way that he can see Egypt being closer and closer and closer and there.
Mm-hmm. And then there. No, I love that. I love the way you break that down. And it reminded me of like a technique that I learned from Tony Robbins back in the day called the eraser technique. And he literally talks about the record player, right? And using this technique, and I use it a lot, where it's like you have this thought or you have this memory, right, that it makes you feel blah, it makes you feel icky, it makes you feel, and that's the thing that plays over and over in your head. Well, he teaches like this tool where you just sit with that and then you remember it, but then you add things to it, right? And it might be like, all right, take away the words and then add in just some music, right? Okay, and then play that over. And so then you have that scene in your head, but there's no words. So that thing that person said to you that hurt you or whatever, you don't hear it anymore. And then you just imagine music. Hmm. And then you might imagine them being in clown shoes, or you might imagine them with a clown face. And you run this over and over and over, adding different things to it. So then to the point where you don't even remember the feeling that went with it in order to like break you from that pattern of like that limiting feeling, you know?
Hmm.
And so I did that a lot, like meditating when I was younger, you know, and I still use that now. So then it's like, okay, so these memories that I have of like these people laughing at me or something like that, it then turns into I still have that memory, but I disassociated that negative feeling that went with it, you know? And so, yeah.
And what you did in scientific terms is when you said disassociate, because a lot of us are very mind focused, right? So mm-hmm. that's not like, oh, okay, I sit there in my mind and I do all this mind in my work. But what you did in your body is for yep. every time you removed those negative triggers, so to speak, you changed your chemistry.
Exactly.
So, stress hormones, okay, you have this memory, it has an emotional signature. So when we feel things, what we're actually saying when we feel things is that we're expressing the chemical reaction that's going on inside of us.
Yep.
So disassociation is actually when you don't think about the thing. That's a whole different problem. That's
yeah, yeah, yeah.
a coping mechanism, and that's a great one when you need to. But what you did is essentially through that exercise is you stopped running the negative chemicals. You stop running the stress neurotransmitters. So then when you think of the person yelling at you but they have a big clown nose, your brain does not feel fear and stress, and it releases a different hormone. Now, if you mentally rehearsed, which is what Roshan said he did, you mentally rehearsed it enough times that it runs clean. You are no longer, your body is no longer producing that stress or negative hormone. And that is what really is happening.
Yeah.
That's powerful.
And it's to the point like where it now it's funny, right? And then it brings me like a positive, like, oh, that's hella funny. You know, and just so doing that has really, yeah.
It's so interesting. And Nicole, I love watching you work in this way where you like then give us the mental health scientific background situation of what's happening, because it can be difficult sometimes to think about, well, how do I access that same thing, right? When people are talking or they're going through an experience, like, how do I access that? I love that. Roshan, part of what we said we wanted to discuss here is around the representation of you know, BIPOC folks, you know, and also Black men, I think. I was curious as you were talking, thinking about the isolation that can often happen when we think so differently than the people around us or our environment, and also the jealousy or envy that can come with the manifestation that's occurring. And people who are around you, why not me, or people who are in the same place where you were at one point and now you far gone, you know, you're way farther than they are. And there might be feelings around that. So I'm just curious as to, you know, did some die off happen? And also, like, how did you find your tribe and the right people to be around after that?
Mm-hmm. I think that's always a moving target, to be honest with you. You know what I mean? Like, as you start to develop yourself, you know, and in that personal development space, you start to understand, like, you become aware of language. And this is just me. So, you know, I become aware of language and how people are speaking and then how that manifests in their life. So then that's a red flag of, like, all right, so I could just sit with someone and just hear them talk and be like, okay, I see why you are where you are. All right, gotta go. And out. And then, you know, when I hear people.
Deuces.
And then, you know, when I hear people who are talking, and that's why I love you, Angie, is just like, you talk that and you're about that and you live that. And it's like, got it. Love being around it, you know, but then understanding that truly when people are at their best selves, that might not necessarily equate to hanging out all the time and, like, you know, sitting and binge watching TV, because that's not what people do when, you know, like, yeah, I mean, there's days we do that, but not all the time, you know. So that then starts to, like, understand, like, I just started counseling, and one of the women, or the woman, she asked me, she goes, so who do you have in your circle? And it was just like, I'll have to think about that, because honestly, I don't really know who I really have in my circle. So a lot of, like, die-off has happened in that way. But then there's like this level of respect that I always keep with people because they understand like, yo, Ro is on some different stuff and he is going for different goals. And then they kind of shrink away. And I found that a lot. Like when you come in and you play bigger and you play a bigger game because you are capable of that and you stand up and say like, yo, I'm playing a bigger game and I'm running for it. Naturally, some people will kind of like sit up with you and be like, all right, cool, let's go. And then naturally some people might be like, you know what? I got this thing I got to do, so I'll be back, you know? And I can always like kind of understand those people. And that's what typically happens when I'm around different people. We're still friends and we're still homies and we still connect every now and then, but they shrink away from themselves, you know, from me and shrink back into themselves. So I find myself a lot being like, nah, son, like, stand up. Like, you are bigger than you think you are, you know? And then that, like, people always say with me, they're like, man, I walk away feeling so great. And it's like, because I believe in you, you know what I mean? Like, I believe in all of us. We have different paths that we have to take, and we're able to be great in all of those things. And that's success. And I think we have this idea that success is something outside of ourselves that we have to chase. But it's like, success is being who you are, whether it's a store clerk, a gardener, pool guy, like whatever it may be.
Yes.
As long as you are naturally who you are and you feel good.
Yes.
So don't shy away because you're not Roshan. You know, it's like, nah, stand in who you are. And stand there and be proud, and then things just continue to happen. But yeah, like that's a lesson that I'm constantly having to teach in these moments when there's like people who fall away. So some people who, you know, I always say like, let the right people come into my life, you know, and keep me in that light, right? But I don't really even walk around worrying about like negative energy coming towards me because I'm not on that frequency, you know? And so it's just like, I'm just going to move in here. What's for me is for me, and it'll show up. I love Estella from Soul Collective. She always says it in this beautiful way, but it's kind of like this, you know, let what is for me come to me. And I'm not saying it the right way, but that's the feeling of it. And then stay in that. And so that's just what I do, and I don't even worry about like the jealousy, the negativity, the anything. It's like people show up in your life and they're supposed to show up. People fall out of your life and they're supposed to fall out. So,
Yeah, I just hear like total trust, you know, total trust, and what Nicole, what you often talk about like maintaining your vision and staying in your frequency. And when you do that, all things that you can expect the best. My affirmation is always that like only the best things are coming to me, right? Like only things that are for my highest good are happening in my life. And holding that high vibration and that frequency, like you said, Roshan, shout out to my habits coach for the badge. Thank you for your support. You naturally will attract things of the like. That's literally the law of attraction.
Because it's on that frequency. Like, if you're listening to 101.K Joy, you're only going to get songs about joy. But if you're down at, you know, 89.anxiety, then you're going to get songs about anxiety, and it's going to move your body in a way. So, yeah, it's like a radio station. I always tell every workshop, every chance I get, that your emotions are like a radio station. So, if you don't know what's going on with you, just ask yourself, if this moment had a song, what would it be?
I love when you do that. That's such a great exercise.
What would it be? And the beauty about, and your brain is like a radio, so it's like a DJ. So, if it's like, you don't give up, we don't give up. The next one is going to be like, throw them bows.
Right.
You know, so, you got to be like, how do I, and you said it, Roshan, tune in. How do I tune over to K Joy? Right?
Yes.
101 K Joy. I'm trying to get back over to the 101 K Joy. And that means you gotta put it, Roshan, you said it. You gotta practice. You gotta play with it. You gotta have what Angie has said, unshakable faith. And it sounds, I think I've heard Roshan, I've heard mention of yoga, meditation, and counseling. So are those the things you've used?
Yeah, let's get into some of your wellness practices. Talk more about that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and I just want to say, like, that radio frequency, like, I picture that in my head all the time. And, like, I even use it now to, when people come to me, I look at them as mirrors, right? And I'm like, okay,
mm-hmm.
This is anxiety coming to me. Somewhere I feel anxious, somewhere. Like, where is it? And so then I'll go into my practices, and then I'll kind of sit with those and be like, all right, because truly everything is a mirror, you know, when it's coming, you know, coming to you because you're attracting it, no matter what it is. And when that's the power, right? Mm. And so then you get into your practices, and that's why these practices are so important.
Yes.
Because you're able to sit in them and say, why did that happen? Or why is this happening? Okay. If I'm a creator and I'm creating these experiences or co-creating these experiences, where is it that I feel anxiety, or where is it that I feel like mm-hmm. peace, you know? And I had to do that a lot during the pandemic, especially being in the event industry, right? Like, the event industry was the first to close down, and we still yet have not come back all the way, right? And so, but then it's like sitting in that and saying, like, don't freak out, don't panic, because somewhere in this world, people are making buku money right now. So don't fear that, you know, because that's just the fear. So getting into, like, the wellness practices, meditation is, like, that key for me. Like, I, like, a lot during the pandemic. That's how I switched my trajectory through the pandemic, and, like, even now, and in a better spot than I was before the pandemic on a business side, was by sitting and not allowing those feelings to radiate out and then attract out. So meditation, I would get up every morning and just, like, sit, and I would meditate and, like, clear my energy. Mm-hmm. So anything that I was thinking from the I would, like, and I purposely do this intentionally, not carry on energy from the day before if I can. So I wake up and I'll just meditate and clear that energy. Just like, okay, even if it's just a blank feeling. And then you get into, like, you can be able to practice feeling forward, which is dope, you know, where it's like, all right, I'm going to feel love, I'm going to feel peace. Imagine that. And then I imagine it, like, pushing out. Not necessarily yoga. I tried yoga, but I learned that I'm a yogi in life.
And off the mat.
On the mat. Off the mat. Yeah, we had this conversation.
Yes.
I'm a yogi off the mat. Not necessarily on the mat.
I didn't know that was a thing. Okay,
yeah. It's definitely a thing. And the hardest, and I will say the hardest yoga to practice is the one off the mat. Doing a pose, as tough as it may be sometimes, that's the easy part. So kudos to the both of you.
And then I work out a lot, you know what I mean? Like, that's truly one of those things, like, I work out. One of the things I've been practicing wellness-wise, just lately, is 10,000 steps. So I've been doing 10,000 steps a day since January 22nd.
Nice.
So every single day, like, 10,000 steps. And what I've found is, like, that could be going on a walk,
mm-hmm.
right? And so then when I'm on this walk, I mean, you know, I'll call somebody and I'll have a beautiful conversation, or, you know, like, I'll be walking and I'll meet someone or say hi to someone, or just, you know, watch. I'm an observer a lot, so I observe the world around me. I'm like, okay, like, so that's been a practice. I love reading, too, when I can. Audiobooks have been, like, that main thing that I've been doing lately. And then just spending time with my sons, that, you know, that brings about that good, positive vibe. And I think that's what that wellness is for me, is, like, how do I practice feeling good? How do I practice feeling joyful? And once you get into that practice, like, that's when it can be anything, you know, like, fixing the refrigerator door handle. I did that during the pandemic, and that brought me hella joy, because it was like, this is going to be that one thing that I do today that's going to bring me joy, and I'm going to celebrate and I'm going to dance when I do it. And so I fixed it, and I was like, hell yeah, did a little dance. But that was it. I was like, that was my one thing to joy today. And then you reflect on it, and it's like, well, yeah, I was hella busy. My wife was hella busy, so we were going to call somebody and probably pay hella money prior to the pandemic. And it had been broken for a long time, but I just sat, focused on it, fixed it. So then I saved money. And then because we're in a pandemic, I had this time to actually do it, and it made me feel really good. So I'm feeling forward, you know? And so then it's just like growing upon that joy. And I think that's a practice too.
Yes.
And then the other thing I say is,
can I add like something to that really quick?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think about this analogy of like red light, green light. And I think that there's so many ways you can apply this in your life, but like I could be at a red light and I could be stuck and I could be upset about like, fuck, I got somewhere to be, I'm at this red light, da 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 da. Or you can think about the fact that very soon that light is gonna turn green. You can feel the excitement about where you're gonna go. You know, you can give thanks for the fact that you're able to drive, that you have a car. And I think that that's, that red light, green light is something that we can apply to anything. Instead of thinking to yourself, you know, whatever negative thoughts you could have had about that door handle, it hasn't been fixed for so long, I never did this before, I don't know how to do this, all that stuff. It was a total flip. And that change, right? We went to KJoy, we changed the dial, you know, and it makes all of the difference.
All the difference. It makes life just, it makes you flow differently, you know, it makes life show up differently. It makes you feel differently about life, you know? And so, yeah, that switch is, it's like,
you're running different hormones. When we're talking about the switch, we're literally talking about, we're running different hormones through our system, which then opens that access to creativity. Because when you're in stress mode, you're in survival. You are not wired for connection. You are not wired for creativity when you're stressed. It has to shut down so that we can get you. So when you do green light, you start thinking about, okay, gratitude. I heard gratitude in there. I heard forward thinking when I'm excited about you. Literally, 90 seconds, y'all. 90 seconds from a negative, 90 seconds is what it takes for it to travel throughout your system. So I tell people, you've already jumped out of the plane. It's a wrap. You've already jumped out. You pissed. Is it? It's a wrap. You at the red light. You mad. Okay? 90 seconds though. Just don't add another thought to that. Green light. Green light. If you can switch to green light, but 90 seconds, you're going to feel it. You're going to be like, but 90 seconds. And then if you can focus on the green light, and I'm just throwing out a little science to help people.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the more we're learning about the brain and the more we're learning about neurobiology, it's phenomenal. It doesn't have to be this woo-woo, hidden, you gotta go sit and meditate for 2 hours thing. 90 seconds.
And, you know,
I'm glad I have 90 seconds because I only give people 16. that's my piece. It's like, you got 16 seconds.
Well, if you are in any mindset coaching, the 16 seconds comes from Abraham Hicks. But the science of a thought. So that's a thought. If you hold a thought for 16 seconds and you can move on to something else, you won't release the chemical. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about if the stress has already been released. 90 seconds. You've already jumped out of the plane. There's nothing you can do. 90 seconds. Pull the string. Green light. There you go.
Yeah. And then Dr. Joe Dispenza, that was like one of the most important books of my life is Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself. One of the most important.
Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself.
Yep. Anybody watching right now, like that was one of the books that really changed it for me. And he's all into like the chemical and the neurology and all of that stuff. That was one of the ones for me.
It's exciting to hear about these, and it's empowering, number one, right? Obviously, to learn about it and to understand oneself better. But two, I think that it inherently says this is accessible to you. It's not just me. It's all human life. So you have the access to it as well, right? We're not unique, you know? It's just that we maybe are a little bit farther along on this journey than somebody else, and we're able to apply it more easily. But to me, that's hopeful for anybody who might be in a place where they are really pessimistic, or, you know, they have a lot of negative thinking, to know that, okay, I'm in that place, but there is a way out.
Yeah.
And I think to piggyback on that, it just speaks that we are designed to feel good.
Yes.
You see how Dr. Jill Bolte Teller, she had a stroke, she came through it. That's where the 90 seconds, that's my reference, Dr. Jill Bolte Taylor. But we are designed to go back to a good feeling state. Stress is a response. It's to get you to move away from, fight your way out, or disengage. But it's bliss. We are designed to feel safe and social. We are designed to be creators.
And you know what? That's that last part of the journey of the yogic path, is that samadhi, that ultimate bliss, you know, the state of ultimate bliss. And that happens through a number of things on that path. It happens through the application of certain ethical principles that you apply to yourself and that you apply as you're relating to the world. It happens through your breathing. It happens through, hello, nervous system. It happens through moving your body. It happens through focus and concentration. It happens through meditation. It happens through introspection, right? These are some of the steps and the work that we put in to get to a place of that ultimate bliss. And I remember, I can't remember if it was in the Yamas and Niyamas book or where I read it, but this idea that enlightenment is not about attaining things. It's about releasing things. It's literally to lighten the load. And, you know, it is that unlearning that you talked about as well, or that you hinted to, Roshan, about that book. I haven't read the book. I don't know what it's about, but the idea of letting these pieces, you know, fall away, to come back to the divine essence that you are, right? To remember, as Nicole often says, to remember the divine, the golden Buddha, you know, to the divine essence. And when we are in that place now, wow. Talk about anything being possible?
Anything.
Anything is really possible at that place.
Yep.
So, any final thoughts, Roshan, as we kind of start to wrap our conversation? Anything that you feel like you still want to get out that's there?
No, that was it. You just lightened the load.
That was it. That was the outro.
Okay.
Just lighten the load. I'm like, all right, cool. Once I click off here, I'm going to float away and float back into the house. I don't have to walk the rest of the day.
Listen, we out here levitating, period. Well, thank you so much.
I appreciate you.
Yes, for being on and for sharing your wisdom and your joy and your energy. I look forward to coming back to this when I need the reminder and being able to listen to it again. Thank you, Roshan. It's been truly an honor to have you, and Nicole, you as well, of course, always.
Yeah. And good to meet you, Nicole.
It's a pleasure. I've seen you two working together. I'm like, what's going on over there? I need to get in on this.
I need to get in on this. Come on through. Come on.
Yes. Where can they find you, Roshan, if people want to find more about you, get in touch with you?
Business-wise, work-wise, Unseen Heroes HQ, which is kind of where I am right now, that Instagram, always with, like, anything we're doing, all of that's there. And then The Spiritual Homie, if people want to hear more of, like, the spiritual side and the posts that I do on the spiritual side. So those are, like, my two paths that you can find me on, both on Instagram.
Awesome. We will make sure we send people that way. Thank you. Sending you all the love, peace, and good vibes.
Yep. All right.
All right. Peace y'all.